All right, we're looking at Hebrews. We've been talking about the doctrine of baptisms, and there was there's so many scriptures, and people are overlooking these and not putting all this together. But we're talking about the baptism of fire. And Michaela, if you would pull up James chapter 1, and I want you to see some things. Again, I definitely don't want you to get a persecution complex, but I want you to be realistic, and I think it'll help you get through things, okay? James, the bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Is that the way everybody does? Okay. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So what does the trial do? It tests your faith. Faith comes by what?
Hearing,
and hearing by the Word of God. So what's being tested? The Word of God. The Word of God. Will you hold on to that Word that God spoke to you? Okay? Will you let that word come to pass? Okay? It's your faith that's being tested, obviously. And you have that faith because of the Word of God. So, where's the opposition coming against? The Word. The Word that you have is trying to get you to doubt what God says. But, note what it does. It produces patience. But what does it say about patience? Let it have its perfect work. Why? So that you'll be complete, not lacking anything. So is that working for you? You see that? I'm not sure of the reference. I can't recall it right now, but go to the concordance and type in the word fiery. F-I-E-R-Y. You're right. I'm sorry. Right? The R-Y? Is that right?
F-I-E-R-Y.
Why? Okay. Then look at 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery baptism of fire. Fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. It's not strange. 1 Corinthians, what is it, 10:13 says that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common unto man. So it's not a strange thing, okay? But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Okay? So I go back then to what is baptism of fire? It's a baptism that purifies you. Okay? When a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, they get the nature of God. Right? That's in the Spirit. You have the nature of God. But the mind has to be renewed to agree with the nature. And prior to receiving the Holy Spirit, our minds have been programmed by the things of the world, the circumstances, the senses, the systems, the education system, the religious system, and all these other things, political system, they program the mind. Okay? And how many of you know that that programming does not agree with your new nature? It does not agree with God's nature. The world ways do not agree with God's ways. Okay? The world's ways do not agree with God's ways. So we have to work on our soul, mind, will, and emotions, okay? So we have to get our mind renewed with the Word of God to where God's word supersedes the information that's been put in there prior to that. Well, the devil doesn't roll over and play dead. You understand? So he's going to, he wants you to keep agreeing with your old thinking. So when you get into situations and circumstances to where you used to act a certain way, God's word lets you know that that's not his nature. And you need to start following the nature. So really what we're being purified through life. Now, I'm fully convinced that the closer you get to God, the less impurities you're going to have. Okay? And the less rain, there's no slack in the reins. In other words, it's keeping you on a straight course, okay, not allowing you to veer to the left or to the right. Religion, especially the contemporary religion of today, is giving you a very wide gamut to walk through, not requiring things of you. We've become so, the contemporary aspect that's infiltrated the church has infiltrated all over the church, and it's infiltrated as if it was an infiltration of the mind brought about by the secular world, not by God, but by secular thinking. And you'll find that contemporary is not conservative. Contemporary would be categorized as liberal. Okay? So this is why we have a liberal church today. Don't you talk about fire. Don't tell me I need to be cleaned up. Don't be putting restrictions on me. I'm not under the law. No, you're under grace, which has stiffer restrictions. And a lot of people, they're not embracing that. That grace actually requires more of you as far as character than the law did. The law just said, don't do it. It didn't deal with your character. It dealt with your acts. Grace deals with your character to where the acts are subsided. You understand, by getting the character right, so you get your thinking agreeing with the Spirit. So it's not strange to me that John would say that there's one coming after me that's mightier than I, that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Nature and acts are going to be pleasing to God. You understand? The nature and your actions are going to be pleasing to God. So we must submit to all aspects of baptism. You understand? Baptized into the Father, immersed into God's my Father. You shouldn't be afraid of your Father. You should have awesome respect for your Father, but not to be afraid of Him. Reverential fear, yes. But to understand, my Father loves me. My Father's looking out for my best interest. And if I mess up, He's going to correct me. But it's still because He's looking out after my best interest that He'll do that. Okay? Then baptized into Jesus. Immersed into Him. The one who has taken my place and my punishment, took all my sin and was punished for my sin, acting as my substitute, so that I could have peace with God. I could come into right standing with the Father. That's why you have to receive the Son. Because if you don't receive the Son, you won't have a relationship with the Father. Because the Son is what gets you into the family. Okay? So you have to be baptized into that. And now we're baptized into the very nature of God, to where we begin to act like God in nature. And then that fire is not only is it the nature, but our actions. In other words, now we're excellent representatives of God in earth. I told you here the other day some humorous stuff to you, but somewhat devastating to me at the time on some of my experiences, that I had the fire. You understand? The pressure, the heat, going through all the traveling and all the things that go with it, you get mentally tired. And when you get mentally tired, if you don't stay on top of things spiritually, you don't keep yourself built up spiritually, what's going to happen? You're going to get attacked in that weak point. And Satan knows your weak point, you understand? So that's where he attacks. And if it's with food, he's going to make you hungry. If it's with temper, he's going to make you mad or try to get you mad, all these type things, you understand? So wherever that is, well, those circumstances are to work for your good. You have to be patient in it. Tribulation works patience. Father, I don't know why it's taken so long. I don't know this. I don't know that. But I believe in you. I trust you. Jane mentioned Job a while ago. Job said to his friends, if he kills me, I'll trust him. And if the worms destroy the flesh off of this body, in my flesh, I will see God. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. He had that revelation under the old. You understand? And that's the Old Testament book. You understand? How much more should we have the revelation, and we should have such a tenacity that we're not going to let go. Now, I've spent a lot of time in this area because I feel like it's been a neglected area that people have avoided, because this is a day you want everybody happy. You know, happy people give more money. And so it's a greed-dominated church. That means you're not interested in the people. If you were, you'd tell the people the truth. This is why people give up. Tell them up front. Now, you've heard the word. So I'm going to tell you now, by the word of God, that Satan comes immediately to steal the word. So I'm warning you. Don't let go of the word. Hold fast to the word. You say what God says. Do not get in agreement with circumstances, symptoms, or whatever. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Because if he can steal that word, he stops you right there. You're defeated. Right there on the spot. If he can take that away from you. That's why you have to constantly encourage yourself in the Lord. I've heard people say, I just want somebody to encourage me. I had someone read. I said, encourage yourself. What do you mean? Get by yourself and talk to yourself till you come out happy. You understand? David encouraged himself in the Lord and led him to a great victory. I believe if we'll get encouraged, get ourselves built up in the Lord, don't get a defeatist attitude, get a victorious attitude. I'm a winner. And I'm not talking about ego, and this has nothing to do with being egotistical. This has to do with agreeing with the victor. The one who's overcome, who lives in us. So you stay in agreement, you stay one in oneness with the overcomer, and you overcome. And not to overcome, you have to break union You have to get out of agreement with him. Okay? So, all this is the bride's making herself ready. We're getting clean before the Lord. He wants us holy. Be ye holy. Okay? And you know, when you first hear that word, you think, well, who can be holy? You know, you think that's out of reach and all that. No, he said, be holy as I'm holy. So when you start renewing your mind to where you're thinking like God without even realizing it, just going through your daily routine of life, you're conducting yourself in a way that God would conduct himself. You're letting the fruit be manifested in your life. And how do people know the tree? By the fruit. So if you pass someone walking down the sidewalk, they should know the tree by the fruit. Some people will gravitate toward you, and some people will get away from you. They don't like your fruit. They don't like the character. In other words, you understand, the devil's not comfortable around God. So the devil shouldn't be comfortable around you. Think about it. Okay? So, are we learning anything on this baptisms? Okay? So, baptism in repent. Turn away from that lifestyle. Turn toward a new lifestyle, the lifestyle of Jesus. Do the works of Jesus, not the works of the flesh. Okay? But you're working. And I must insert that. You should be working, okay, for the Lord. All right? So our life should be productive for the kingdom of God. And then the Word of God coming into us is maturing us. And as we go through the maturing process, the growing process, have you ever heard of growing pains? Yeah, well, there's things that come at you as you're growing. You may not be just 100% proficient when you first get that. So that word's tested. You may trip. You may do this. You may do that. Don't stay down. Grab that word until that word becomes complete on the inside of you. And to where you're actually, to me, the baptism of fire is developing the character of the Lord in us. Bottom line is to develop the character of the Lord in us. Okay? You all right with all that? So then that's just an overview, I suppose, of the baptisms. So let's go back to the sixth chapter, Michaela, of Hebrews, if you would. Are you okay with where we are? Okay. He says of the doctrine of baptism, but then the next thing, now note this. These are milk of the Word. And most people think the Holy Spirit is meat. I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I'm eating steak. He calls it milk of the Word. Laying on of hands. Now, just give you some. Here again, these things are covered in the doctrine of Christ and the study of Jesus teaching. Okay, there's various things that occur in laying on of hands. For instance, in the Old Covenant, it says Joshua was full of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So things can be imparted through the laying on of hands. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you, which was given to you by the laying on. At one place he said, the hands of the presbytery, in other words, by the laying on of my hands. Okay? So then, gifts can be imparted through the laying on of hands. And then we've learned from our just our recent study in Timothy that, you know, we don't lay hands on anyone suddenly. That can be a judgment or also an appointment as ordination. So the laying on of hands can actually set people apart for a particular ministry or whatever, okay? And then we know that there is the laying on of the hands, a laying on of hands for healing, okay? There's a laying on of hands. People can receive the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. We have scripture, you know, where Paul laid his hands on them, the disciples there at Ephesus, those 12 disciples, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see Peter and John that come down from Jerusalem, 8th chapter of Acts, where Philip is having the great revival, if you will, in Samaria. They've been baptized into Jesus, but they haven't received the Holy Spirit. For all those proponents of I got in the Holy Spirit when I received Jesus, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Peter and John came down and laid hands on them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, things can happen through the laying on of hand. There's transfer. It's like a point of contact to where God in you is being transferred to a receiver. Now, this is a key. The receiver must be tuned in. The receiver must be receiving. If the receiver's not receiving, it doesn't matter how much power's on you, it's not going anywhere. And as a minister, that is very frustrating. When you know that God just wants to flow in and you can't get flow. It's not going. There's not a ground. You understand? It's not being received. So all these things have to be taken into consideration. Now here's what I really want to stress is denominations and traditional beliefs and things like that, in so many instances, reject vital things of God, such as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? Such as laying on of hands. And they want to put their, it's not even personal opinions, it's fabricated beliefs that this has passed away and this is not for today because they don't have a leg to stand on by the scriptures. Okay? So it's just something that men come up with, and what you do if you embrace that, you're rejecting something vital that God's wanting to give you. All these things dealing with milk are extremely important in your life. We're talking the foundation. Now think about this. How many people don't even have the foundation laid in their lives? Because all I'm reading is foundation stuff. Milk. And if you're not embracing the things of the foundation, what's going to support the house you're trying to build? Do you understand? I go back to Matthew, the 7th chapter, where Jesus said, in that day, many is going to say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't we? And then they go down the list of the miraculous things they've done. I mean, they've done wonders. They cast out devils. They've operated in the miraculous side, in the spectacular side. But he says, I never knew you. Never. In other words, you never entered into personal, intimate relationship with me. You did works, no fruit. The tree's not known by its works. It's known by its fruit. Right? So it's extremely important that we embrace these doctrinal beliefs of Jesus. Believe it or not, you may not believe in the Holy Spirit laying on hand, but Jesus did. He didn't even begin ministry until the Holy Spirit came on him and resided. Did he? He practiced laying on of hands. Didn't he? Then why should that be controversial to us? You make it controversial. It's not. Not if you look at truth and let truth talk to you. So he says the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, this is all doctrine, doctrine of laying on of hands, doctrine of resurrection. Okay? Now, obviously, we know that first off, you have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. If you don't believe there's going to be a resurrection, then you don't. If you don't believe in resurrection, then Jesus wasn't resurrected by your standard. So it starts with believing in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, okay? There has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. You aware of that? Okay? So to believe in the resurrection and to teach the resurrection, obviously you have to incorporate the death that occurred with Jesus as the first fruit. Been resurrected. He died, the first one raised from the dead. The Bible calls him the first begotten from the dead or the firstborn from the dead, depending on the scripture. Okay? So he's the firstborn from the dead, not the first person raised from the dead. There's other people raised from the dead. He raised people from the dead. He's the one, first one born from the dead. Then, not only in his resurrection of the dead, but understand he's the forerunner. Because we have the assurance from First Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and also First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, we have an assurance of being resurrected from the dead. Okay? Do you believe in the resurrection? A basic fundamental teaching. That's why Job could say, "In my flesh, I will see God." You understand? Even he believed in a resurrection. How much more should we? Okay? Then, here's one people don't want to embrace these days, eternal judgment. Well, God's love. So that's the contemporary mindset in the church today that's infiltrated the church today. God's love. God loves you. God understands. Sure he does. God loves you. He understands you're a sinner. He understands you going to hell if you don't accept his love. That's what God understands. But if you think God accepts you as a sinner, as a pervert, then you'd better think again. Somebody's deceived you. God doesn't do that. God has standards. God hates sin. He hates it. But he loves people so much that he died giving the opportunity for anyone in sin to come out of sin. God's not going to accept you in your sin. He will save you out of your sin. You understand? See, this was a problem with any of you ever heard of the Jesus people? I'm older than some. Okay, she's heard of them, yeah. The hippies. And out of the hippies came, we're talking 60s, you know, and out of that came people that were evangelized, and they liked this thing about Jesus, and then they incorporated some of their hippie stuff in with this this Jesus. And so they called them the Jesus people. They still, you know, had the look of the beatniks and the hippie and all that type stuff. And one of their leaders, 10 years after that, I believe it was about 10 years after that, admitted that they didn't see anything wrong with smoking pot. You want to know why the church is messed up? Because we allowed Satan into the church. We allowed sin into the church by giving people a false message that God loves you just as you are and accepts you just as you are. God does love you, but He will not accept you as you are. If He would, why did Jesus die? You with me? Okay. So, you can be assured that there is an eternal judgment. Now, you can see this in Corinthians, the third chapter, I think it is, where we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's talking about the believers. All believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he goes on and defines some things. He talks about how all our works are going to be tested by fire. You ever read it? Michaela, click on. You know I'm from the old school. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start reading with verse 10. Well, let's start reading verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you're God's field, you're God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, note this, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So it's possible on the believers, the judgment of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's possible to stand in that judgment and all the things you've done to burn up, but you're saved. Okay? No reward. Wrong motives. Not doing it God's way. You understand all these various things, okay? So that's the judgment seat. It's called Bema, B-E-M-A, this Greek. That's the judgment seat of God. It's where we're going to be judged by our works. Now, what determines whether or not you live eternally with the Lord is the book of life. Is your name in the book of life, or has it been blotted out? Okay? Remember what Moses said? If you're not going to forgive, then just blot my name out too. And for all those that sing, there's a new name written down in glory, and talk about that person got saved, their name's written in the book of life. That won't hold water because it's not scriptural. There's nowhere in the Scripture it says about writing a person's name in the book of life. The Scripture says blotting their name out. I believe your name's written in when you come into the earth. What you do with your life determines whether or not your name stays in the book of life. Okay? So if you look it up, and you'll find that it talks about blotting out, not writing down, on different occasions. Okay? Then in the 20th chapter of the Revelation, it talks about the great white throne judgment. You ever heard that? You ever heard people singing about how they're going to get around the great white throne of judgment? Well, you go right ahead, not me. That's the judgment of the sinners. Okay? And they're judged by their works. The books and the book. What determines if they go into the lake of fire is the book. Is their name there. And I don't understand all this, but there's obviously different rewards, and they're rewarded according to their works, just like the righteous are rewarded according to their works. God's fair. God's just. So I don't know what all that means, and I don't know anyone else that does. God has not chosen to reveal that through the Word. But let me tell you something. The best of hell would be horrible. So don't even go there. You understand? Now, we've just briefly covered these fundamental, foundational milk teachings that Jesus believes. It's called doctrine of Christ. I choose to believe what Jesus believes. And I hope you will. Okay? And I trust you got something out of all of this. And where do we pick back up with verse 3, and I'll obviously have to get it back in context, okay?